All right, so last week we began discussing the 10th brach of Shemoneh Esrei, Tekach Shofar, and we discussed last week mainly the significance of the structure of Shemoneh Esrei as having in the middle brachos, so to speak, a first half and a second half, the first half about the individual brachos and the second half the brachos that are more communal brachos. And the position of Tekach Shofar, the bracha of Kibbutz Galios, as the beginning of the second half, the brachos leading to the geula, the Binyan Beis Hamikdash, and Kibbutz Galios and Yerushalayim and all of those things. So we discussed last week in a broader perspective the position of Tekach Shofar structurally in Shemoneh Esrei in that rubric. So this week I wanted to discuss more Tekach Shofar just individually, not within that context of the bigger picture of Shemoneh Esrei, but its location, why it's 10th, and also just to discuss a question about why the bracha of Shema of Tekach Shofar is not extra, is not unnecessary, because we already had a bracha of Re'eva Anyenu, a bracha about Geula. The seventh bracha of Shemoneh Esrei was already about this, and why this bracha is not redundant. So we'll discuss those two issues, maybe try and connect the two. So I wanted to start, we're going to get back to this point, maybe the significance of this, but that we've discussed many times, the Gemara in Megillah on Yud Zayin, which goes through the order of the brachos of Shemoneh Esrei and explains each one, either why it's a logical follow-up to the one before it, or maybe its position in the number, what number bracha it is. So the Gemara in Megillah, Yud Zayin, says that the bracha of Tekach Shofar is where it is because it follows Birkas Hashanim. It follows the previous bracha Bari Helenu, the bracha of Birkas Hashanim, that the land should produce. The Mara says that it's after that because the Pasuk says, Va'atem Hare Yisrael, and you, the mountains of Israel, Anpechem Titnu Titnu, that the branches will give off their fruit, upirchem tisau, they will bear their fruit, la'ami Yisrael, to my nation Israel, ki kerevu lavo, because soon they are going to come. The pasuk intimates that the geula is going to, that Bnei Yisrael are going to return shortly after the land begins producing its fruit again. The Gemara says that that Geula will be be'ez Birkas Hashanim. That Rashi really points it out that you see that Kibbutz Galios, that the return of Bnei Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, or the time of the Geula, is going to be be'ez Birkas Hashanim. Is going to be at a time of Birkas Hashanim, at a time of the ingathering of the at a time of the produce of the land of Eretz Yisrael is giving off its produce. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, based off of the same pasuk, says, his observation says, "Ein lecha keitz megula mizu." There is no more revealed and obvious sign of the keitz of the geula than this, the point at which Eretz Yisrael begins to produce and to give off crops, that there is no more open and obvious sign of the geula than that, as the pasuk says, "Vatem har Yisrael," that the mountains of Israel are going to begin to give off their fruit, to give off their bounty, and that's the kikerevu lavo, and that means that the geula is close in coming. That's the sign of geula, and the Maharsha there points, he makes the observations. The Maharsha in the 1500s, in the 16th century, says that while Bnei Yisrael are not on Eretz Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael are not in the land of Eretz Yisrael, So Eretz Yisrael doesn't produce. Eretz Yisrael is not going to is barren. It doesn't give off the dry and unresponsive. When it starts producing again, when the land of Israel begins to give off, it starts being a productive land again. It's a clear sign that the Geula is close to coming. That the clear sign that the Geula is soon to follow. It's well known, the account that Mark Twain visited the land of Palestine, long before, you know, the Jewish returned to the land, and writes about, you know, just how desolate the land was, and how it was unsurvivable, it was unlivable, it was absolutely a desert and barren and unbearable, and just that it was basically treacherous. And he has this very, you know, descriptive account of his visits, his travels there, and how it was so destitute, so desolate and abandoned. And that was what Eretz Yisrael was like, you know, for thousands of years, for centuries. And you go back to Eretz Yisrael today, and you see that today in Eretz Yisrael, you know, the markets are full. There's a certain rabbi, say a major figure in the religious Zionist, and then he was very vocal about, you know, that I guess in his view, not just the approaching Geula, but you know that the Geula has already started, and that you know the Eretz Yisrael, the Medinat Yisrael, and that however he's very vocal about that, and he said that there was once a suicide bombing, something like that, and somebody approached him in the street and came over to him and said, "Rabbi so and so, is this your Geula?" And they happened to be standing right outside of a little one of these little shops in the Shuk, and he says, "How could you say that right in front of the cucumbers, right in front of the tomatoes?" And he points to these bins full of, you know, the fruit of Eretz Yisrael, which is, you know, like, this is a tragedy, but you know how could you talk to me about, like, you're insulting the fruit of Eretz Yisrael. I think he might be a little bit off, because the Gemara says not that this is a sign that the Geula has come, but the Geula is soon in coming. But he's absolutely correct that the person who was asking the question might also have been correct that, you know, it's not perfect, it's not the, you know, we obviously don't have the Geula, but at the same time that it's a clear sign that the Geula is on its way. That, you know, we're in the process of the return to Eretz Yisrael, and more importantly, the spiritual return. That the matzah of the status of having spiritual return to Eretz Yisrael and the Geula Shlema. That's a clear step that's on the way. So that's the first piece that the Gemara says that Tekaba Shofar Kibbutz Galuyos follows Birkas Hashanim, because Birkas Hashanim is the sign, is the simin, is the most clear simin that the Geula is on its way, is close and coming. An observation, when the Gemara says, you know, Krov Alavo, or Kirvu Alavo, that in the context of a couple millennia, that Kerevu Lavo, I don't know if it means, you know, like, you know, a couple of weeks. Kerevu Lavo in the context of 2,000 years, you know, could still be not such a, you know, a brief amount of time, a lifetime, and whatever it would be. But it's at least a sign that the time is approaching. I wanted to discuss, and we're gonna try and tie this back in. But question that a number of Mefarshim ask, which is mentioned before, that we have two brachos in Shmoneh Esrei. We have the seventh bracha, Re'evan Yinu, and we have the bracha, our bracha, Tekah B'Shofar. And both of them, they seem to be somewhat redundant, somewhat overlapping. They both seem to be about the Geula. And so what's the need for both of these brachas? What's the distinction between these two brachas? What gives each of them a... What's the unique nature of each bracha? So one school of thought is, many mefarshim understand this way, that re'edan yenu is about sorrows, is about the troubles, the tragedies, and the geula, the redemption of a yachid, of an individual. While tekah b'shofar is about the tzibor, is about the geula of klal yisrael. And this, you know, fits very nicely with the previous discussion that we had last week of the two halves of Shemoneh Esrei, that the first half is the individual brachos, the brachos that pertain to each individual, needed as for lots of people, but on an individual basis. And the second half of Shemoneh Esrei is about the communal needs, the needs that are in by their nature. The first half is an individual geula, and tekah b'shofar is the national geula. And this all, you know, fits very, very, very nicely with the source text of the two brachos. The bracha, the Gemara says, bases the position of Re'evan Yenu on the pasuk Goel Mishachas Chayaychi, that Hashem redeems my soul or my life from destruction. It's talking about an individual, and it's referring to the individual basis, individual tzaros, as opposed to our bracha that we're talking about now is on ki kerevu lavo. It's talking about Yisrael, right? Ve'ata hare Yisrael, that they're going to give your fruit, la'ami Yisrael, to my nation Israel, ki kerevu lavo, because they are soon going to return. It's talking about the national geula, is talking about the geula ha'asida. And so there, that would be a very simple, straightforward answer to the question. The two brachos are very different, that one is talking about during the exile, during the goals, talking about each individual's trials and tribulations and suffering and being saved from that. And this bracha is talking about the geula ha'asida, is talking about the final redemption, the redemption of Klal Yisrael as a whole. But there's another school of thought that understood, we discussed at the time, that the seventh bracha is also about geula ha'asida, that the seventh bracha of Shemoneh Esrei is also, the topic is the eventual geula of Klal Yisrael, and mentioned, you know, there's grounds for that. The Medrash, which seems to imply that understanding, a certain reading of the Gemara seems to imply that understanding, says that it's the seventh bracha because the geula ha'asida is going to be in the seventh year. So it seems to be paralleling that the seventh bracha to the final redemption. So there's a different school of thought which understands that both brachos are actually about the geula ha'asida, the final redemption. And so the question is, why two brachos for two separate blessings on this topic? So the Eitz Yosef, in his commentary, explains what he thinks is the simple pshat. And I put that maybe put that in scare quotes because it's not so obvious. But he explains why he thinks it's the more obvious pshat. Says that this bracha, the tenth bracha, tekah b'shofar, is going on the geula, the redemption of the asara shvatim, is going on the return of the ten shvatim. The Gemara, the step one of the basis for this, the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Kuf Yud has machlokas about whether or not the Asar Shvatim are going to be redeemed, or they were sent out, are they going to be brought back with the rest of Klal Yisrael? And Rebbe learns from the pasuk. Rebbe understands, his opinion is that they will return, and the pasuk that he learns from is Vayehi Bayom Hahu Yitaka B'Shofar Gadol Ubala Ovdim Be'eretz Ashur. So Vayehi Bayom Yitaka B'Shofar Gadol sounds very much like our bracha Teka B'Shofar Gadol Cheruzenu. He says that's a reference to that pasuk, and that pasuk is the source of the geula of the Asara Shvatim, the source of the geula of the entire body of Klal Yisrael, not just those who were exiled in the second Beis HaMikdash, but even those who were sent away by the first Beis HaMikdash, the Asara Shvatim. And that's the focus of this bracha is that. And the way the Eitz Yosef sums up, he says that v'lo yeh kamo sha'aya the vayasheni sha'al chatzayin, that the final geula should not be or will not be like the geula, the mini geula of vayasheni, where it was incomplete. They only partially came back. Pida that we're davening for in this bracha will be complete. So the Tekah B'Shofar, just to add on, Tekah B'Shofar is the 10th bracha, and 10 represents, the idea of 10 represents Shlemus. You know, 10 is really the highest number. After you get to 10, the next number is really 10 and 1, and 10 and 2, and 10 and 3. Right? There's no new number after 10. It's really the end of the count. After that, you're doing really just adding another group of 10s onto that. And the Ramchal actually writes that the reason that the biblical word in many places for the number 11 is not achad asar, but ashte es asar. It's a word ayin shin tof yud, ashte asar, or ashte esrei, that the Ramchal says because if the number was achad asar, it would imply that it's the number after 10. It's 10 and 1 would be, you know, adding 1 onto 10. And the Ramchal says that kol amosif goreya, that adding on, if once something is whole, when you add on to it, you're really taking away from it. The 10 is, that's the totality. That's completion. That's perfection. And after that, it's no longer going up from 10. The next number is really, in a certain sense, disconnected from that, because once you've reached 10, you've reached Shlemus. So the 10th bracha, is about that the geula hasida that should be shalem, should be complete, that this geula, this bracha is the bracha that even the asara shvatim should come back. It should be all of Klal Yisrael come back, and the geula should be geula shlema, should be complete, it should be total. And that's the bakasha, that the asara shvatim come back. The Eitz Yosef quotes the Sidur Sha'arei Shamayim. I've never heard it before, so I don't know who it is, but the Eitz Yosef quotes it, the Sidur Sha'arei Shamayim, who answers the question a little bit differently, not a little bit differently, much differently, says that one of the brachos, the bracha of Re'ev Anyenu, is for the Galus HaGuf, is for the physical exile, and one is for the Galus HaNeshama, and one is for the spiritual galus, the spiritual exile, and they're davening for the physical geula and the spiritual geula. And similar to the idea, we had to say that Ritzoneinu lasos Ritzonecha, our will is really to do Hashem's will, but what's ma'akev, Sa'or Shabbi'isa v'shibud Malchios, there's two aspects to what separates between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is you have the Shibud Malchios, the servitude to the nations, the physical nature of our exile, where practically we are subjugated to the nations, and therefore that hinders our ability to serve Hashem completely and perfectly. And then Sa'or Shabbi'isa, literally the yeast in the dough, but which is a reference to the Yetzer Hara, that there's a spiritual hindrance, there's a spiritual battle that we have, which is also part of the gullus that we're in, that there's a separation, a spiritual separation, a spiritual barrier between us and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And there, the 7th bracha is for the geulas haguf, is for the shibud malchus, and the 10th bracha is for the geulas haneshama, is the spiritual redemption. Rimeir ibn Gabai in the Sefer Avodas HaKodesh also says this same idea, that the one bracha is about the geulas haguf, is about the physical redemption, and the other one is about the geulas haneshama. And he adds on, he says that the geulas haguf precedes the geulas haneshama. First you have the 7th bracha of the physical redemption, and then you have the 10th bracha of the spiritual redemption. It says that the neshama was sent into galus first, and therefore it will be redeemed second, that it was the more internal of the galus, and therefore it will be the more that's going by. Mashal Chazal give in a entirely different concept. You have a tube, and you put in two pebbles, into the tube, so the one that goes in first will come out second. All right, so the one that goes out first go in. So the geula that the neshama was exiled first, the spiritual, the geula, the galus haneshama happened first, and therefore the geulas haneshama happened second, and therefore the bracha of the physical geula precedes the bracha of the spiritual geula. You see the similar thing, the paradigm for that, I guess, in the Churban Habayis, that first you had the Churban Harochni, first you had the spiritual destruction, that first the Shechina left the base of Migdash, and then only after that the physical structure was destroyed. The expression the Talmud uses, that Kimcha Techina Tachan, that when Titus came and destroyed the base of Migdash, he ground up already ground flour. It was really already ground up, and he was just, you know, smashing something which was really already ground up, that spiritually the structure of the base of Migdash was already destroyed, and he was really just, you know, breaking the bricks and the wood, but it was really already destroyed. To understand the meaning of that idea, that the idea is that the physical is meant to be, is the purpose of the physical, is it serves as a vessel for the spiritual. And Kol Zman, as long as it is serving as a vessel, as long as it's serving that purpose, so it has a kiyum, there's a purpose, there's a place for existence, there's room for the existence of this vessel, as long as it's serving its purpose as that vessel. So therefore the spiritual, the ruchni aspect of the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed first, and then the physical is now an empty vessel, it's an empty shell which gets destroyed, it gets discarded because there's no need, it's the reason of the source for its existence is now gone. And that's the expression the Gemara says, that after the Shechina left the base of Migdash, it's already destroyed, it's just a shell now, and therefore destroying it, there's nothing that really happened when you destroyed that. And therefore, for the same reason, the physical has the geula first. The physical redemption happens first because first the vessel is put in place, and then the spiritual has the geula, and then there is the ruchni geula. Then there is the redemption of the spiritual, where the vessel is filled. Right, similar to when Bezalel said that, you know, first you have to build the house and then you can put the furniture inside it. That the structure has to be put into place, and then you can put the content into it. The same idea with the construction of the base of Mikdash. V'asuli Mikdash, v'shachanti b'socham. First, you have to asuli Mikdash. First, you have to build the Mikdash. First, you have to create the Mikdash, create that structure, create the vessel, which is the place of residence for the Kedusha, for the Shechina, for that spiritual existence. And then after that, the Shechina comes in, and then v'shachanti b'socham, and then the Shechina comes in after the residence, after the abode was already constructed. So then it can be filled. Then there's that gives room, that gives context for the existence of that of the spiritual content, which comes in and takes its place. And that's therefore the Bareich, therefore Re'evan Yenu comes first. Therefore, Re'evan Yenu, the physical geula. So first you have the physical geula, and only after you have the physical geula, then can we have Tekah B'Shofar for the spiritual geula, which then gives context and meaning to that physical geula, but can only take place after the physical geula has happened, after there's been the after there's already been the physical redemption, which lays the framework and the context for the spiritual geula to occupy it. And this way also that we can tie in that Re'evan Yenu is the seventh bracha. The bracha of Re'evan Yenu of the physical geula is the seventh bracha. Seven represents in Jewish thought the shlemus of the physical. It's the culmination of the physical cycle, right? The 7 days of the week, the Shishas Yimei Brachos plus Shabbos, and after that, then it goes back to day one, right? There's a cycle of 7 days. Seven is the shlemus of the physical aspect of creation. Seven is the pinnacle of the physical existence, and therefore the physical geula, bringing the physical world to its point of completion, which is the point at which it is becomes a vessel for the spiritual. That's the seventh bracha. The seventh bracha is the bracha of the completion of the physical, the geula of the physical, where the physical has reached its pinnacle, which is being a vehicle, being a vessel for the spiritual to reside on. And then Tekah B'Shofar is the tenth. The tenth we mentioned before is the idea of Shlemus, but specifically Shlemus of the spiritual, or really the ultimate Shlemus, that there is nothing above. That's the tenth bracha, and therefore that's what ten represents, and therefore Tekah B'Shofar is the spiritual geula, is the tenth bracha, is the bracha of the Shlemus of the spiritual, is when the spiritual comes and fills the physical kalim that were set up for it, is the tenth bracha. Therefore, they're specifically the seventh bracha and the tenth bracha, because that's corresponding to the geula, which is the shlemus, the bringing to completion. It's the final realization. Of the physical, and the final realization and completion of the spiritual is the seventh bracha and the tenth bracha. I think that's also the significance of what we started with, that Tekah B'Shofar follows Birkas Hashanim, because the geula is going to be the ace Birkas Hashanim, because the geula, the redemption, is only going to happen at a time of Birkas Hashanim, of the fruition of the land, when the land is giving off its produce and being productive, that the geula specifically happens at a time of physical success, of time of physical realization, because that's this same idea, that first the physical reaches its shlemus, there's a physical geula, the geula of in the material existence, which creates a vessel that's the reaching the point at which it's fitting to be a kli, fit to be, it's creating the potential to serve as a vessel, as a vehicle for the spiritual. And it's specifically once you have that physical structure, that physical framework set in place, that you have the spiritual geula then follows after that. So first there's going to be the Birkas Hashanim, first there's going to be Har Yisrael, Anchem Titnu, first there's going to be that spiritual, the physical fruition, the spiritual return, the physical return of Eretz Yisrael, a physical manifestation and a physical completion, perfection, and elevation, and then. After that, right, that's not coinciding with that, but following that will come Geula Tochni, where Klal Yisrael returns in their entirety, and the spiritual will return with Mashiach and with Beis Hamikdash and with all of the everything that comes along with the final redemption. Just one more idea, short idea. The Acharis Shalom, one of the Mefarshim that is in the Otzer Tfilos. So the Acharis Shalom also asks this question, and the Acharis Shalom says that the two brachos are about two different ways in which the geula can come about. They're about two different possibilities of why the geula could come. And he says that we could have a geula in our own schus, we could have a geula because we merit the geula, or we could have a geula because of the way he says it, pechisos mishabdehem, that you could have a geula because of the lowliness, the undeservingness of those who are subjugating us. And it says the Achrat Shalom that the seventh bracha, the bracha of Re'ei Vanyenu, is the bracha about the undeservingness of, it's when the oppressors, that their oppressiveness is not commensurate with what they deserve to do, with meaning that it's gone beyond what they should be doing. It's then they don't deserve, so to speak, to be oppressing Klal Yisrael to that nature, and therefore the Geula should come because of the oppressive nature of the nations that we're subjugated to. Find it really quickly, but I think it was the Iyun Tefila, but I might have remembered it wrong. Says that no, it wasn't the Iyun Tefila. It was the Eitz Yosef. So that's in the bracha of Gal Yisrael, in the bracha of Re'ei Vanyenu, it explained this idea that the Re'ei Vanyenu means to see our suffering. It's asking for the Geula, not because of necessarily that, you know, because we're deserving it, but because of Re'ei Vanyenu, see the Shibud that we're being subjected to, see how the nations are oppressing us, Yoser Midai, that they're overdoing it in the and their presumptuous and kvar nirtza avonenu ba'anenu, that our sins have already been matched by our suffering, and therefore the geula should come, not necessarily because we've deserved it, but because we've gone through enough. And this is some similar parallel to the level of what's referred to. We have two ways the geula can come: be'ita akhishena. The geula can either come be'ita at its appointed time, or akhishena, that it could be brought early. The geula could be brought early because of our own zchus. When Klal Yisrael if Klal Yisrael brings it about on their own, then it'll be akhishena. But if not, there's a certain point when Hashem is going to bring the geula anyways, because of His own kavod. His nation is being oppressed. His nation is being subjugated. And it's a chilul Hashem to leave Klal Yisrael in galus of it. So if there's the p'chisas mishabdehem, the lowly nature, the lowly status of their oppressors, so at a certain point it becomes too much of a chilul Hashem for the nation of God to be subjected to such a lowly nation, in such a lowly state, that the geula comes because of that. And then you have our bracha, Teka b'shofar, is the bracha when we are zocha, when we reach it in our own schus, then the Kadosh Baruch will bring the geula because we've brought it about our own merits. And the Achra Shalom explains that's why in Re'ei Vanyenu it ends with Goel Yisrael, and Teka b'shofar ends with the Mekabetz Nidche Amo Yisrael. That in Teka b'shofar, it's because we are the status we have of Am Yisrael, that we deserved it through our own, you know, being deserving to be called Amo, that's why we're getting the geula, is because of our own schus, is because of our own merits and our own achievements, and therefore the geula could come also in that way, in the Akhi Shena, that we bring the geula, you know, earlier when it's supposed than when it's supposed to come, because we on our own merits, on our own accolades, have achieved the mission that we're here for, and therefore the geula would be brought earlier. And that's this bracha is the bracha on that aspect of geula, that's hoping for, praying for that geula that comes through our own merits, through our own zchuyos, and that's the bracha of Teka b'shofar. All right, stop here for tonight.